home field dominance. And he told me, look, this is the first time our staff has had a crack at these guys in this setting. So if he's a superstitious man, he certainly didn't give anything away on Thursday. And they seem primed and focused to maybe buck the trend and pick up that first road win in quite some time here.
Well, and it is one of those sort of really called like a more of a historical anomaly, right? Because you're talking sort of almost different generations of Gales football in that, going back, you know, certainly from when the Gales came back into the OU and Pat Sheehan was the head coach at that point, and that now obviously with Steve Snyder and that. But you're right, you have to go all the way back to taking a look at it. Was the 2006 playoff game here in Hamilton is the only time that the Gales have ever beaten Hamilton. That was Danny Brannigan's first playoff game as a Gale, so that's certainly going back a day or two.
Folks, we have got the national anthem coming up. We're going to throw to a quick word from our sponsor, and we'll be back with you shortly for first quarter football action.
Located in the heart of the Queen's University campus, the Grad Club is a premier destination for concerts, events, and private gatherings in the city of Kingston. The Grad Club and its staff pride themselves on creating a safe, inclusive space for all. Interested in booking your next event, function, or study group? Head to thegradclub.ca for more information. That was the Grad Club pregame show. Coming up next, kickoff and first quarter football action brought to you by the Grad Club.
Folks, we are just a little over 2 minutes away from kickoff here at Ron Joyce Stadium in beautiful Hamilton, Ontario. This is a Steel City showdown between your Queens Gales and the McMaster Marauders, two programs with a lot to prove. And man, oh man, is this a big game here in Hamilton. It's only week two, but with the OUA, every single game can have dire ramifications for your playoff positioning and seeding. This is Jesse Bell, joined in the booth by Don Lewis for the first time since probably the 2000 season on CFRC's airwaves. 25 years later, Don, here we are. And man, oh man, two teams with very similar compositions, similar layouts, and it seems like this year a similar offensive philosophy. We could be in store for something of a aerial showcase here in downtown Hamilton now that we are just a minute or two away from kickoff. Don, what are you expecting to see from this McMaster team today?
Well, you know, as you say, you talk about that aerial showcase, and really, you know, since Steph Patosik has sort of retaken the, you know, the position as a head coach of the McMaster Marauders, that's what we've seen. You know, the running game is more of a complement in that to what they do through the air. And that one of the things, and it looks, he is listed on the depth chart this afternoon. Good news from a McMaster perspective, Aiden Nemeth,
right,
their second leading receiver, is going to be back in the game. And you're going to have him and Taylor Jackson sort of out wide on opposite sides. And that, you know, for Mac, Joel Birch, Everett Reed did a good job in the slots last week for the for McMaster in that. Their running game and that, Braden Kelly kind of led the way last week. Now, you know, a little bit of a struggle in that, carried the ball 9 times for just 26 yards in that game in York. Mm-hmm. You know, as we said, with the Gales this year, it's more that evolution moving from sort of the Jared Kasari-based offense to, as we said, it's really, you know, getting that ball spread around to a number of different receivers. And, you know, the win, negligible win here this afternoon. Yeah. So, you know, as you said, certainly expect it is going to be, you know, probably both teams trying to air it out early to get their offenses going.
And for the Gales, shifting away from a Jared Kasari-centric offense, never a bad thing, as Kasari has put a lot of mileage on those tires. And, well, I thought last year was his last year, but I can't imagine he's got too many more years of eligibility left. We're going to have the Gales receiving to start things off. And something new to this season is a three-man return set with number 2 Russell Weir, number 28 Ethan Dahl, and of course the program record holder number 6 Ian St. Arnaud split back to return. And three very different philosophies for kick returners. Ethan Dahl probably going to be more of a head down, shoulder pad, hard charging runner. Russell Weir obviously so elusive, and Ian St. Arnaud blazing breakaway speed. It's kind of a pick your poison situation here, Don. I don't know if I've seen three more game returners at the same time for the tricolor.
Well, it's something that Gales head coach Steve Snyder, when we talked to him this week, talked about, is that you've got such great kickers in the OU. They're trying to give teams a little bit of a different look in terms of their kick return game.
And we've got a great one here with Michael Horvat kicking this one away. And it's going to go to Mr. Do-It-All, Russell Weir, catching it around the 5-yard line. And he's looking for some space, finds some in the middle before being tackled up just shy of the 30. Not a bad return there from Russell Weir as we get our first look today at this Queens offense led by number 12, Alex Vraken. Kingston product, former Frontenac Falcon, told me during CFRC at the Lang that he never intended to go to Queens University, but as the world changed, as the world shut down, things just happened to work out for us, and I think I can speak on behalf of CFRC's audience, we're thankful for it. We've got two receivers and an H-back, Mateo Tuioti, on the right-hand side. Men in motion in the slot. Vraken is going to drop back to pass over the middle behind number 1, Cedric Smith. Looks like a bit of miscommunication there, Don.
Yeah, it looked as though he maybe stepped in, you know, a couple times on that sort of quick in route that time and then just simply threw it behind him. A couple things we saw last week in the game is sort of that sort of sidearm, almost sort of three-quarter motion that we saw from Alex on that play.
So it'll be 2nd and 10 for the Gales from about the 29-yard line. Similar formation, flipped it though, Vraken dropping back. He's got time, but he's going to step up. He's going to take this one himself. He motioned to throw to Matt Camillo, but was past the line of scrimmage and will be tapped down without much drama there. So a quick 2 and out for the Gales.
And one change this week in the kicking game, and that Matt Driver, and this may be part of that, you know, you can only dress 50 guys on the road. It may be one of those issues. So Matt Driver, the Gales punter last week, it's going to be Taylor Mullen doing the punting job this afternoon for Queens.
And we haven't seen much from the punt game from Tyler Mullen in the past. Obviously a hyper-accurate kicker. He had an outstanding performance last week. Let's see what he can do in terms of generating positive field position for the Gales. Low kick caught about the 45-yard line of the Marauders, and there is space along the right-hand side, but we do have a flurry of flags touching the turf. One will be no yards, and it looks like the other one might be holding on McMaster, just based on the positioning of the flag.
And if it's the no yards, good job by the return man on the play. Coming up for it was Everett Reed, catching the ball in the air, so that would be the 15-yard no yards variety.
It could be possibly maybe offset a bit if there is indeed a hold process. Still going to be a positive return outcome for the Marauders. And good snap there from number 82, Ben Walker, with James Gillingham's move on to the linebacking unit. Ben Walker has taken over the long snapping duties and looked sharp last week. Looked sharp last week.
Indeed, it was no yards, but because they got more than 15 on the return, they just take the return.
There we go. So we have got Luke Thalman dropping back, looking for a man, and complete along the right-hand side of the field, right by the boundary. That was a catch by, I believe, number 81, Everett Reed. Yes, indeed. Just returned the punt, and then a quick catch on an out route. It's going to be 2nd and about 3 or so, and because of that return, McMaster already in Gales territory, as we have got trips on the left-hand side, heavy run formation, and we are going to see a handoff up the middle, and we've got Stephen Capea as the lead, the tip of the spear on that tackle, and with forward progress, they may have enough, but not a great gain there.
Micah Duchesne, the ball carrier on that play, the backup running back coming into this game, he gets the first carry for the Marauders.
And they do pick up enough for first down distance. It's going to be 1st and 10, McMaster from the Gales 41-yard line. A quick 2 and out from the Queens offense. First down of the game generated by Micah Duchesne and the McMaster Marauders. Looks like more more of a Steph Patazic pass formation here as Duchesne slips out into the flat. We're going to see Thalman on the run, completes it over the middle to Everett Reed, and he is swallowed up by number 44, Justin Pace. Not what I want to see in the slot as a nimble receiver. Big number 44 for the Gales, Justin Pace. But good pickup there from McMaster. It's going to be second and four from the Gales 37.
This is something that Coach Patasik said about Thalman, is that a little bit more mobile than Keegan Hall, the quarterback the last couple of years for the Marauders. You saw that getting the ball outside, sort of able to move outside and open up the passing lane.
We've got multiple men in motion, second and short. It's going to be another handoff, and this one is going nowhere as big number 91, Eric Johnston, had a fantastic performance last week, picked up a tackle for loss, and was key to limiting the explosive Ethan Dalby. Well, he picks up his second tackle for loss of the season there, Don. Trying to run in the middle of this Queens defense. No easy feat, as we have now got a special teams situation. Looks like it is going to be a field goal try. Probably about a 42-yarder there from Michael Horvat.
And Johnson, the most experienced defensive lineman coming back. James Gillingham doing a good job on that play as well, coming off the linebacker position, forcing the ball back inside.
So here we go. 42-yarder from number 21. And he pulls it. No field goal, and this is a dangerous sight as Ian St. Arnaud is looking for space along the left-hand side. He doubles back. Not the best decision there. Great job by the Marauders kick coverage team as Ian St. Arnaud is tackled inside the five for what feels like the first time maybe in his career. Rare to see Ian St. Arnaud stonewalled, but ultimately not going to matter as the Gales will get that first and 10 from their own 20. But if you're McMaster, you got to feel good about stopping Ian St. Arnaud on a missed field goal scenario.
You got to feel good about that. However, maybe a couple of concerns here early in the season with the kicking game, and that's a third missed kick. Two missed kicks, one blocked last week.
That's right.
Against York. So,
bit of struggle for the McMaster Marauders, but the offense looks sharp against this formidable Queens defense. It's a 0-0 ball game. Queens getting their second drive here in the first quarter. It's going to be a handoff to Jared Kasari. And Jared Kasari still yet to really get his wheels under him this season, Don, as a short gain up the middle. Looks like they gave him about four, so it'll be second and six from the 26.
That was that sort of traditional Gales look with sort of, you know, motioning the linemen kind of come down one way. You bring the slot back. Nathan Falcone in motion coming back the other way to try and open up the hole. Getting that run game going, though, will allow hopefully to get back to some of the play action fakes they used so successfully last week.
That misdirection that works so well. Here we go. Vraken, first completion of the game to a familiar target, but whether he has enough is still to be determined. Catch from Mateo Tuioti there. Actually, the team's leading receiver, his sixth reception of the season, will be enough for the Gales' first down, as it will be first and 10 from about the 32-yard line. So a pickup of eight there from big number 87, Vraken's first completion. And that's what we saw last week. First pass last week was a bit cattywampus, but after that, he seems to calm down, get his wits about him, and make plays. First and 10. Here we go. Play action fake. Throw to Jack Ashby Jacobs. Jack Ashby Jacobs has got Big Nick Henning in front of him. And a beautiful twisting bubble screen from Jack Ashby Jacobs. Great to see him back in the lineup, Don. Some pretty profound injury struggles for number 18.
Well, it's his speed and that he's able to use there. You know, you talked about the play action fake into Kasari. I think a great job done by Cedric Smith blocking the defensive back out wide on the left side from the Marauders on the play, Juan Vasquez, allowing Ashby Jacobs to get upfield for the first down.
So here we go. First and 10 for the Gales. Vraken looking for Nathan Falcone, and that is caught. See ya! No, they tackle him up at the five, but a beautiful over-the-shoulder catch from Nathan Falcone, and that's got to feel good, Don. Bit of a tough game for number 16 last week. Well, they've called his number once, and he's already picked up massive yardage deep into Mac territory.
Number 16 goes deep downfield, a 64-yard reception, and a beautifully thrown ball that time by Alex Vraken. Falcone had made the move to get in behind the McMaster secondary. and a huge play all the way down, as you said, to the McMaster 5.
Concentration catch. Struggled last week. Looks locked in today. First and goal for the Gales from the 5-yard line. And we're going to see a bit of a mismanagement, a miscommunication, as Vraken tried to hand the ball off left. Kasari was to his right. So Vraken instead keeps it himself and just fights forward for whatever he can get. Sorry, folks. That's Ethan Dolan there, not Jared Kasari. Great short yardage back, but second year, still maybe getting the game sense hammered out.
Well, if nothing else, though, I thought good presence of mind that time by Vraken, and that sometimes you see a tackle for loss in that play. Picked up 3 yards all the way down to just outside the two.
Great point. No panic. That's that fifth-year veteran experience. Second and goal, and that's more like it. Ethan Dahl running into the wall. I thought he was going to have enough, but a great play there by the second wave of linebackers on the McMaster Marauders. What a thud, Don.
Aaron Lavers does a tremendous job meeting Dahl right in the hole. And interesting call here, and you wonder if this is maybe shades of last week when the Gales went for it on third down in their own end. It was really the momentum changer. We're now seeing Mullen come on for a very short field goal attempt.
I admit I'm a little surprised, but you could be very right, Don. It may be a bit of a psychological yip that they're working through, and with no Matt Driver, we are back to Nathan Falcone as our primary place kick holder. This one would be, oh, they got the Marauders jumping, and that could be a consequential penalty from someone we talked about earlier, Juan Vasquez, trying to get an edge on the edge, and that could be a big, big blunder for this young McMaster team. They've got some fifth-year guys, but there's a lot of new faces out there.
It's a time count violation against the Gales. So Kevin Mickleborough, the referee this afternoon, making the call. So
the offense is as surprised as we are as they make their way back off the field. Same idea, just a little further back.
Sorry, Jesse. The rest of our officials, Ed Asari Kwanza, the umpire, Nick Hayhow, the down judge, Scott Berry, line judge, Brian Scouten, the side judge, Bill Zagetti, the back judge, and Jason Riff, our field judge here this afternoon.
As Mullen is on for a double-digit field goal here. And he makes it look easy. And Don, with 4 field goals last week, that's his 5th of the season, and I believe now that is 47 regular season field goals all time for Tyler Mullen.
Yeah, so Mullen really moving up the Gales all-time kicking charts, both in terms of field goals and in terms of all-time points in that as well. So
43rd career field goal for number 42, which he's 3 back of tying his current kicking coach, Nick Libertor, who obviously had a sterling career for the Gales with 46 made field goals. And Tyler Mullen, yeah, climbing up that all-time points record as well. Had a couple touchbacks last year, adding to that total. But he is one of the most reliable kickers in the OUA. He's still perfect, knock on wood, in his career on extra points, both regular season and playoffs. And one of the most accurate kickers in Canada. But something we had a chance to see during the preseason is a young man in the pipeline behind him, Mark Capuccini Gutierrez, someone who appears to have quite prodigious leg strength on. I think he was knocking some down from, 57, 58, and 60?
Yeah, he was kicking from the other side of midfield in that pregame scrimmage that we watched against preseason sort of controlled practice, if you will.
Yes.
Controlled scrimmage against Carleton. And that one of the things, though, again, with Mullen, his accuracy has always been really a hallmark of his game, but I think over the last few years, it's the strength of leg that we've seen. And that, you know, when he came in his first year of kicking, you don't want to say he was being kind of coddled, but there were not too many kicks that were really from beyond 35. And that over the last few years, gradually, just getting further back, and that he's got a career long of 49 yards and that. And You know, and again, it's just the strength of the OU kicking game. And really, quite frankly, we saw last night in one of the games the strength of the kicking game across the country.
Can make a big difference in major moments. That's his first and 10, McMaster from the 35. A handoff to, I believe that is still Micah Duchesne there rolling with.
Yeah, Duchesne making the carry there, going off tackle on the left side. Nice job coming up to fill the hole. Jacob Baldwin, rookie linebacker, had a great game last week against Western and continuing that great play here this afternoon.
Stopping it up for a gain of about 4, so it'll be 2nd and 6 or so from the 38, so they gave him maybe 3.5. 3-0 ball game here at Ron Joyce Stadium with Tyler Mullen's 12-yard field goal make, as we've got Thalman dropping back to pass. He's under pressure. He is scrambling. He is going to find a bit of space in the middle, and that is a close to being questionable hit there from Justin Pace. Fallman sliding, thankfully. Cooler heads prevailed. No flags, no serious injuries. But Justin Pace plays the game with such aggression and such instinct. Nearly came in a little late on that one there, Don.
He did manage to just not get a personal, get an unnecessary reference penalty on it. Unnecessary roughness.
As we've got a punt from Horvat. Nearly blocked, but he does get it off, and that's Ian St. Arnaud fielding that one on the left-hand side of the field as he's trying to double back right. And credit to this McMaster special teams unit, Don. They have limited the explosive Ian St. Arnaud. Second straight return situation where he's been bottled up and stopped while trying to reverse field.
I think the other thing we saw on that play was not unlike what we saw a couple times last week, is that, you know, Charlie Taggart in the Gale special teams court, if he's going to call a return middle or return left or whatever, Sander Noah is still going to try and get to that hole even if the ball is kicked to the other side. And certainly for Charlie Taggart, a little bit of a homecoming this week as formerly the special teams coordinator with the Hamilton Tiger Cats as well.
Already an accomplished career, setting records last year with the Gales. This offense is back on the field. It's going to be 1st and 10 for the Gales from their own 19-yard line. We've got multiple men in motion. It's going to be a handoff to Jared Kasari as Kasari cuts it up into the middle of the pile, and a short gain for Jared Kasari, but a good hard-nosed run on first down. Looks like they're going to give him about 4, setting up 2nd and 6 from the 23. And, yeah, so far, that's what we've seen from Jared Kasari this season. Not a lot of outside run. When they run him, it's been into the teeth of the defense, looking to give him a chance to make that first man miss, explode through the hole, because once he gets to that second level, he is one of the most dangerous backs in the country. Multiple men in motion for Vreken again. Play action. This one is complete to Cedric Smith. And it should be, yes indeed, enough for a first down. Cedric Smith, like Jack Ashby Jacobs, another player. We mentioned this in the pregame show, coming back from a serious injury last season, and it looks like he hasn't missed a beat, Don.
Great job that time going low. Good job, you know, making a nice hands catch with the ball right at the turf. It was really a run look, though. Certainly up front, the Gales moving the left side of the line across to the right.
Hand off to Kasari up the middle, and same old same, Don. Consistency here. Short gain up the middle on first down, setting up a 2nd and long, but a 2nd and more manageable. And last year, 2nd and long was the real bane of this offense. They really struggled to convert if they didn't get that good gain on first down from Jared Kasari. This season, the expanded passing game has given them a little more offensive versatility in those 2nd and long downs and distances, as it will be 2nd and 7 from just past the 33-yard line. Breaking, dropping back under pressure, and he's going to sail that one over the head of Mateo Tuioti and onto the turf. So let me take a second to tell you about our first quarter sponsor, the Grad Club. Looking for the perfect lunch spot on campus? Do you want somewhere that's casual, comfortable, and affordable? Then head on down to the Grad Club at 162 Berry Street. With a warm, inviting atmosphere and outstanding food options, the Grad Club will both fill your belly and lift your spirits. Follow at the Grad Club on Instagram to get the latest and greatest deals and offers, as Tyler Mullen back on the field to punt this one away. Let's see if he can get a little bit more on this punt. So Queens, a first down and then a punt from Tyler Mullen. Going to hit and take a nice bounce, caught at the 35. And this McMaster returner has got space. There is a flag down in the defensive backfield. And a great track and tackle from Jalen Grable. And Don, I see you counting
You know, it's a nice 42-yard punt that time by Mullen, certainly with the bounce, and that about a 16-yard return on the play.
Curious to see what this flag is all about.
And the flag thrown by Bill Zagetti, the back judge, on the near side here.
If you're just joining us, folks, it's a 3-0 ball game. Queens on the road in Hamilton against the McMaster Marauders, and it looks like the Marauders will be marauding in the wrong direction, as it is indeed a hold on the hometown team called by Bill Zagetti. So it'll be 1st and 10 from the McMaster 45, which is not far from where the punt was originally caught before that 16-yard return.
Penalties, a little bit of a problem last week for McMaster in the first game against York. Penalized 8 times on the day.
Gale's not much better, especially towards that second half. A conduct penalty and then several holds on the offensive line. It's that week one. You got to work out the kinks.
Gale's head coach Steve Snyder motioning as to why the ball is not 10 yards further back, because normally it would go from where the ball was caught and then marched off, and indeed that's the case.
So it'll be 1st and 10 from... Oh, great call from head coach Steve Snyder, saving his defense 20 yards. My goodness. So here we go. Let's do that again. It'll be 1st and 10 from the McMaster 25. Still waiting on that offensive explosion between these two potent offensive teams. Defensive battle so far. Luke Thalman, the starting quarterback this year for the Marauders, and he is going to drop back to pass on 1st down. And he is rolling out to the right-hand side, and he's got Justin Pace to deal with, and Justin Pace in the perfect place to make a play, Don.
But unfortunately, I think Pace is going to get flagged here for a penalty. Although the flag comes out after the play, so you wonder if it might be and objectionable conduct.
That could be the case.
No, indeed it is against Pace.
Ah, that is unfortunate. A great play was made, but sometimes you've got to let your play do the talking and maybe keep that lip shut, because that hurt the Gales last week as well. We saw Jeremy Hiscox pick up a similar penalty, and that will undo what would have been a great first down stop from Justin Pace. An excellent open field tackle on Luke Thalman ends up resulting in a 1st down all the same. So 1st and 10 from the McMaster 35. Following with a hard count there, trying to get the Gales jumping. And it is going to be a pass. He is looking to the left-hand side, and that is caught as the receiver is dragged out of bounds. Jackson Taylor with his first reception of the game for a 1st down for the Marauders.
Taylor, the leading receiver last week for McMaster, caught 2 touchdowns, went for 104 yards in that game.
And credit to this MAC O-line, so far doing a good job of dealing with this aggressive Queens front. Several sacks last week against the outstanding Western offensive line. So far, the Marauders have held tough. 1st and 10 from MAC's 48. It's going to be a handoff to Braden Kelly, and Braden Kelly has got a lot of space up the middle and picks up their 2nd 1st down of the drive. First carry for Braden Kelly today was great for them last season, their team's leading rusher, and gets loose on his first carry to put the Marauders back in Queens territory.
Did a great job seeing the blitz come from the Gales boundary corner on the play. Jared Seaway cut the ball back up through the middle of the formation into the Gales end of the field.
So here we go, 1st and 10. We've got a bubble screen to Jackson Taylor, and Jackson Taylor is not going to find much with number 22, John Corscadden, coming in to secure the tackle. Number 49, Jalen Grable, also present on the play. So that'll be a 2nd and 8 from Queens territory. 3-0 ball game here with about 30 seconds to play in our first quarter of action. Brought to you by the Grad Club. More on the Grad Club in a few moments. As it's been a slow start for both offensive units, but Mac appears to be working with something special here. Multiple men in motion. It's going to be a bootleg by Thalman over the middle. And that pass hits the turf harmlessly, bringing up a third and eight.
And again, you see Justin Pace going over to renew acquaintances with Thalman. We've seen the two of them going head-to-head a couple times here this afternoon.
Pace, such an emotional leader, a guy who does lead through words and deeds, but sometimes he can get a little fired up, a little caught up in the moment of the game, as we've got Horvat on to punt this one away to number two, Russell Weir. The human Swiss Army knife can truly do it all. As Horvat angles this punt to the right-hand side. That's a beautiful punt, Don. That's going to go out at the two and take us to the end of our first quarter. Folks, do you know the Grad Club also offers outstanding catering options for your events? They offer a wide variety of meal options, including plenty of vegetarian and vegan alternatives. More information on their new catering menu can be found at thegradclub.ca. Let me throw to a word from our sponsor, and we'll be back with you for second quarter football action.
Located in the heart of the University campus, the Grad Club is a premier destination for concerts, events, and private gatherings in the city of Kingston. The Grad Club and its staff pride themselves on creating a safe, inclusive space for all. Interested in booking your next event, function, or study group? Head to thegradclub.ca for more information. Gales Game Day on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up next, second quarter football action brought to you by Old Farm Fine Foods.
And we are back. This is Jesse Bell, joined by Don Lewis here in downtown Hamilton for the Steel City Showdown between York Queens Gales and the McMaster Marauders. And it's a 3-0 ball game. The Gales lead, but they're going to start this drive, Don, from their own 2-yard line. And we've got number 28, Ethan Dahl, in the backfield. Let's see if they give the young man the rock. They do, as Dahl is looking to find any space whatsoever, but he is swallowed up after a gain of about 2, maybe 2.5. Setting up 2nd and 7 from the Queens 4-yard line, actually.
Isaiah Shields and Anthony Sestanovic doing a nice job from the linebacker position coming up to limit Dahl on that play.
What a game Sestanovic had last week for the Marauders. He was all over former quarterback, former teammate Keegan Hall. Haven't seen him get involved in the pass rush game yet, but he made a great play there alongside Isaiah Shields to stop Ethan Dahl. Well short of first down yardage. 2nd and 7. Play action. Braken is looking for Preston Martin. Oh, and Preston Martin is unable to secure what would have been an over-the-shoulder sideline grab. And this looks like two-point territory here. Likely see... Tyler Mullen is on, so... Likely will be Mullen to surrender the two. We have seen them put Russell Weir, Nathan Falcone, guys like that back there to run around a bit. But this is probably just going to be a simple kneel situation for the Gales after a 2 and out starting at their 2.
On that play, the play action fake from Vraken kind of held the linebackers initially and helped to give him some time, but good coverage downfield on the play that time. Sean Underhill, the corner on the near side.
Well-placed ball by Vraken. Catchable. Difficult catch, partially because that coverage was so tight. As Mullen will kneel that one, as we have got a soccer score so far here. 3-2 for the Gales, but the Marauders will get the ball at their own 35 so far.
Well, and, you know, on that possession, you almost give Michael Horvat an assist. And that punt that finished off the first quarter, and that was just a brilliant punt right into the corner. And I thought, you know, whether you're a football player or a rugby player, is a brilliant punt. And that taking the rugby connection, Sophie DeGutta,
yes,
Helping to lead Canada to another big victory this morning over Wales in the Women's World World Cup.
One of the most special athletes in the history of Queens University. First and 10 Marauders. Braden Kelly takes the handoff, and down he goes. Number 52. The juice was loose deep in the McMaster backfield, and that is a huge TFL from OJ.
Oliver Jackson is, of the rush ends this year for the Gales, certainly the most experienced guy coming back from last year, and that had a great game last week against Western, and once again quickly getting upfield
as he sets up
to tackle Kelly.
Sorry about that, Don. As he sets up a second and very long here, second and 15 from the 30. We've got a rush on Thalman. Thalman is rolling out. He's going to launch that one over the middle. Bit of a screen pass, and it will be tackled up short by the Gales, but a great design there from Steph Patazic and company, taking advantage of that aggressive blitzing scheme from the Gales, bring the guys in and just bomb it over their heads. And Mac picks up 12, but it will be short as the Gales are going to have to rush their punt team, as that's going to be blown dead. But otherwise, Queens would have had about 20, 21 players on the field.
And I don't believe the play had been whistled in to where Mac could have snapped it that quickly.
Right you are, Don. I think that's exactly it. But it'll give the Gales something to think about moving forward, no doubt. This is a Mac team that's going to press the advantage whenever possible.
Rob Underhill, the McMaster special teams coordinator, trying to come in with a quick formation that time.
Keeping the Gales on their toes. Another beauty of a punt by Horvat. Caught by Russell Weir at the 11-yard line. And Russell Weir's got some space on the left-hand side. He's going to find a bit of a seam, and that is the best return of the day for the Gales. Russell Weir picking up 22 for number two, as Queens will start with their best starting field position in quite some time, Don.
Brandon Spence doing a great job for the Gales with a nice special teams block, and also made sure that he made contact with the coverage man coming downfield on the front, because if he had hit him initially, might have gone for a block in the back, and that would have negated a great return.
And something about Coach Taggart's unit, this is one of the smartest special teams units in the country. They don't often get penalized. They do a great job of it, as we have Agent Zero, Isaiah Adams, in the ball game for the first time today. We have got two receivers and an H-back on the left-hand side, as it will be a play-action pass to Cedric Smith. Great concentration catch for Cedric Smith. Gain of about seven or so as Mateo Tuioti finishes his block and steps over his man with an eye pointed keenly towards the official, I might add.
And again, it's the play-action fake, not just with the fake to the running back, but it's a whole offensive line formation fake as well, where you see the left side of the line blocked down to the right. You have the right side, you have Daniel Sudak, Nick Henning, the guard and the tackle come around. So that's going to bring the linebackers up, and it allows the space for Cedric Smith to get open downfield.
Great game so far from Cedric Smith as Ethan Dahl is in the ballgame. It is second and one, and we are going to see that handoff to Ethan Dahl. And Ethan Dahl gets loose for a gain for first down yardage. Nice play from Ethan Dahl. You can just see a big difference from last year to this year, Don. The explosiveness. It's so clear that Ethan Dahl has been hitting leg day every chance he gets, because his burst through the hole is just so much more definitive than it was last year.
Well, he's very decisive, right? He's not waiting for the hole to open up. He's saying, I know where the hole is supposed to be, and he's going to go and get it there. Nice block that time. Cale Warren coming in from the slot back to make the trap block, and on the lineman coming across Lamani.
A player who played H-back last year for the Gales, moving to slot this year, as we've got another bubble screen to Jack Ashby-Jacobs. Jack Ashby-Jacobs, a great game for first down yardage. Cutting it in, cutting it back out for another Queens first down. And yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Ethan Dahl, he knows the hole will be there, Don, but if it isn't, at this point he's strong enough to make it himself, as we saw last week. So it'll be first and 10 for the Gales back on the McMaster side of the field for the first time since that Tyler Mullen field goal. Isaiah Adams back in the ball game. We've got that kind of balanced formation, two receivers aside, with Mateo Tuioti on the left. We're going to see another play action pass from Vraken, and Vraken is looking for Nathan Falcone. Nathan Falcone, see ya! Touchdown Queens! Nathan Falcone's first of the season, almost eerily identical, Don, to that long shot that brought them into field goal range in the first, as Nathan Falcone takes flight, touches down, and the Gaels build on their lead.
51-yard pass downfield, and on this play, Alex Vreken does a great job looking to the man on the inside, Cedric Smith, and that made the formation unbalanced when he comes across to the left, and that he's running up the middle of the field, forces the safety on the play, Carter Blad, to kind of cheat to the middle, and it allows that space for Falcone to get open over the top.
And that's been a big key for this offense. We talked about unpredictability, but that misdirection, such a great point, Don. All you need to do with a player as explosive and as polished as Nathan Falcone is create that extra inch of daylight, and he can make it hurt. Folks, it is now a 10-2 ball game here in the beautiful city of Hamilton, Ontario. Your second quarter is brought to you by Old Farm Fine Foods. At 204 Berry Street, they are your one-stop shop for the finest farm-to-table ingredients, a la carte meal items, and high-quality frozen meals. Pizza, sausage rolls, sandwiches, and sweet treats await. So don't hesitate to make a date and head down to the farm at 204 Berry Street. I'll actually be joined in the booth next week for a halftime segment by Steve France and Jeff Williams, two iconic members of the Old Farm family. I'm very much so looking forward to that. And Don, Old Farm has been one of the longest sponsors of Gaels Game Day on CFRC. It's basically Old Farm and Grad Club, so I'm always immensely appreciative for what they do to allow me to make the trip to places like this. So thank you to our sponsors. You'll hear more about them in just a little bit, but it is man, what a heck of a start to the season for Alex Vreken as well. There was a quote about him having the potential to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country, and certainly looks like he's living up to it here. Caught at the 5-yard line. This is going to be a good return for the Marauders. 30-plus yards. Tackled up at exactly the 35. And what has been... Well, the first quarter, I think it's fair to say, Don, a bit of a defensive stalemate, but things are starting to open up here with 10 minutes to go in our second quarter of action.
We've seen those two long passes to Falcone. On that return that time, Isaiah Shields, he's their strong side linebacker, but you see the speed that he has, and he's a tremendously athletic player, and he was somebody that Steve Snyder, Gaels head coach, was worried about from that sort of return perspective, because he had a couple of nice returns last week against York as well.
So here we go, first and 10 for the Marauders at their own 35. Spread formation for Thalman. Quick pass dropped. A coterie of Gaels there. Two big backers. Number 44, Justin Pace, and number 30, Jacob Baldwin. And once again, I wouldn't want to be a slot player with either of those gentlemen looking me down in the slot. So it'll be a second and 10 from the 35. As we haven't seen much from Braden Kelly today, but when he's been in, he has been effective. We are going to see Micah Duchesne here as the tailback for the Marauders. He is going to split out wide. We've got another pass situation. And we're going to get a quick pass into the flat, caught by Jackson Taylor. But I'm not sure what exactly the design was, Don, because it was Jackson Taylor all alone with five Gaels.
Well, I think they were trying to do a sort of fake from a formation perspective, because they brought Taylor from the backside and tried to leak him out in the flat there, but James Gillingham didn't make the tackle, but he got out there so quickly that Taylor had no place to go to get downfield.
And something we saw with Gillingham last year, especially on special teams, obviously his long snapping work, but he was often one of the first players down to kind of set up the kick coverage formation. He was so fast, so athletic, so explosive, and like you said, even if he isn't making the play, he's making the play possible. So here we go, third and 11. Going to be a two and out in a moment here. Play whistle dead. Michael Horvat, though. Maybe the field goal game has been a bit of a struggle, but his punting today has been on point. He pinned the Gaels deep and generated McMaster's first 2 points of the game. And would have been another beauty right there.
See again the Gaels kind of mixing up the return setup here with both Weir and St. Arnaud back. For Weir again, this is almost a sort of de facto home game, and that growing up just down the road in Oakville, Ontario.
We were talking to his dad before the game, another great Gael in his own right, another versatile player, caught by Ian St. Arnaud at the 29, and St. Arnaud is looking for space along the right-hand side. He's got Russell Weir. What a great block from Russell Weir. setting up some space for Ian St. Arnaud, who will be stopped at the 35, but smallest guy on the field, biggest heart in the huddle, Russell Weir with a great engagement block to create a little bit of space there for Ian St. Arnaud. If you're just joining us, folks, it's a 10-2 ball game. Gales have taken the lead thanks to a Nathan Falcone 51-yard touchdown and a 12-yard Tyler Mullen field goal set up by a Nathan Falcone 61-yard catch and run. After a bit of a tough week last week for Nathan Falcone, he has bounced back, and this offense, man, he is so integral to what they love to do. We've seen a lot of pass. Veteran tailback Jared Kasari back in the game here. We'll see if they change it up. Hand it off. Kasari in motion, slipping out into the flat. They're going to look for Kasari, but that ball is going to be tipped to the turf by Malik Bolt. Great play there from number 97 for the Marauders. And you saw it. He had him all the way. Would have been on the money, but a tremendous play. And when I played defensive line, there's nothing you liked more than getting your hands on the ball in any capacity whatsoever, be it a tip, a strip, or a pick. And Malik Bolt there making a very consequential play here with 8 minutes to go in our second quarter of action. Second and 10 from the 35. Breaking under pressure, rolling left. He's looking for Matt Camillo, but he's going to keep it himself and pick up first down yardage. Great veteran play there from Alex Braken. Or is they going to mark him short? Oh, he stepped out just before the first down as Queens perhaps a little gun-shy from last week, Don. Third and very makeable, bringing their punt team back onto the field. And that is strange. In the 5 years that I've been covering these games, I've never seen the team quite as hesitant in a third and short situation.
One thing, though, you could say, you're really sort of then putting it on your defense, and the job that Gale's defensive coordinator, Ryan McManus, and the job the defense have really been doing for most of this game here this afternoon.
So Mullen back on. Our regular punter, Matt Driver, not making the trip to Hamilton this week, as Mullen is going to get another bouncer caught at the 15-yard line, and what a read, what a job there from number 24, Ashton Miller-Melanson, or, as I learned, Media Day, I've got to put the Francophone pronunciation on it, Ashton Miller-Melanson with a beautiful special teams play, Don. That's just good fundamental football right there.
Well, the other thing that Mullen does on that kick is that it's not the prettiest kick, but he keeps it outside the numbers, and that allows Miller-Melanson and the coverage team to get downfield and makes the job covering that kick that much easier.
And while we've got a brief break in the action, let's throw it to a word from our second quarter sponsor, Old Farm Fine Foods.
Hey, sports fans. Why don't you come on down to Old Farm Fine Foods? Old Farm, downtown Kingston at the corner of Berry and Clergy Street. Open Monday to Friday, 8 to 6, and Saturdays, 10 to 5. Don't forget to check out our Instagram at Old Farm FM.
As we are back, folks, if you're just joining us, this is Gales Game Day, live from Hamilton, Ontario. It is a 10-2 ball game. Your Gales lead the McMaster Marauders. It'll be first and 10 for the McMaster Marauders from just shy of their own 25. And we've got our third tailback in the game for the Marauders here, but Thalman is going to look to pass. He's going to tuck it and run, evading the grasp of Eric Johnston and sliding just short of number 44, Justin Pace. Credit to the secondary there, Don. That was a play that had plenty of time to develop, but the experienced veteran secondary shutting down this McMaster pass attack on that one. Fallman picking up about four to set up a second and six situation.
Meanwhile, Pace got flagged for an objectionable conduct penalty earlier in the game when he made a hard tackle at Thalman, not really wanting to get the extra yard or two when he's going up against the Gales' big number 44.
Not worth that, as Thalman drops back, and he's going to rifle that one to Coach Beckmanis. Issue is, Coach Beck Manis is not allowed to play for either team, so that will be a two and out, as we will see the outstanding Michael Horvat back onto the field. He has, you could argue, Don, been the MVP for the Marauders so far. His punt, placed perfectly to end our first quarter, and credit to this outstanding special teams unit. We actually have a single returner this time. Just Russell Weir, but we are going to get a timeout from the Queens coaching staff. So it'll be a bit of a chin wag before we get our third and seven setup. Gales leading by a touchdown and a two-point conversion. As we learned last week, though, not a safe lead, even if it is the optimal amount of points you can score. Both Don and myself recovering from what was a dramatic conclusion to last week's home opener.
You know, for folks that are watching U-Sports football across the country, even a nine-point lead, you know, you go back to that game, Calgary and Regina last night. Regina's up nine, and that Calgary gets a touchdown, 6 seconds left, two-point convert. You still think the game's over. Nope. Calgary, an 80-yard kickoff, and that bounces through the end zone. You saw the Regina return man trying to catch it to be able to get back out of the end zone. Of course, unfortunately for Calgary, if you will, is that Regina goes down, gets a touchdown, first possession of overtime, and Calgary unable to equal that, but just some tremendous late-game football across the country this season.
Dramatic scenes, the ball literally cascading off the returner's hands. Russell Weir catching this one at the 35, staying in bounds, cutting it up along the left-hand side, and good gain of about 14. There for Russell Weir, setting up another solid starting field position for this offense. As it will be first and 10 from, they're going to mark it at the 49. So far, the Queens passing offense has been up to snuff, still looking to establish the ground game that has been a hallmark of this Nesbitt and Snyder offense in years past. The Gales certainly have the talent, Don. This is a deep running back room, and today we've seen contributions from Isaiah Adams, Ethan Dahl, and of course, Jared Kasari. But it looks like Ethan Dahl might be that, maybe ready to make that big leap this year.
You know, as we talked about earlier in the game here this afternoon, that, you know, he often is sort of those hard yards right up the middle and that, but as we said, the decisiveness, he's making the, you know, that good quick cut, you know, to open up. And, you know, and it's not like, you know, when Kasari came in and started to establish him had the Gale single season rushing yardage record, and that was coming in when there was a sort of three, four-headed running back.
Right.
You know, you go back to the time of Anthony Soles, Yan Longa, and that when they were carrying the ball for the Gales as well. We're now maybe seeing that sort of generation turn over now to the next generation of Gales running backs here.
And that has been an unquestioned strength in recruiting for this Gales team. I'm still waiting to see local product, Josh Bennett from my beloved Sydenham Golden Eagles, but hey, there's a lot of guys that are ready to make that contribution. It's tough to be a starting running back historically for a program like the Queens Gales. I think of so many legends that have worn the tricolor that have played in that backfield, and it's a very special position group historically speaking. First and 10 from the Queens 49. It's a 10-2 ball game. Hand off to Jared Kasari, and Jared Kasari makes a couple men miss up the middle. Hard-nose run from number 29 to pick up, I believe, his first down of the season, or short again, marking him second and one coming up here. I thought, nope, he did get it. There we go.
Nice job blocking by the left side of the Gales O-line, Jazz Kara, and first-year Gale Sean Matheson, transferring from Dalhousie.
As we are going to get first and 10 from just inside McMaster territory, as Raikin is looking for Russell Weir. Russell Weir makes one man miss, and that's what we talked about in the pregame show, Don, that compete, that fire to push forward, and it looks like he is going to be able to wiggle his way
to a second consecutive first down for this Queens offense. And this is the point last week where we started to see this offense catch fire towards the middle point of the second quarter. Once they get in that rhythm, Don, they are tough to deal with.
When you have Kasari go for a hard 10 yards to pick up a first down, it's going to make the linebackers step up and gives that space open behind them for Weir.
As Kasari slipping out into the flat, they're going to try this one again. They're going to find him, and Kasari is going to cut inside, fight forward for another first down as the Gales are moving.
You talk about the two quarterbacks here this afternoon. Luke Thalman, first-year starter, and that for McMaster. We've seen the position of the ball sometimes not quite as accurate as can be. That time, that was a perfectly thrown ball. Kasari, the way right where Alex puts it, allows Kasari to quickly turn upfield and get the first down.
And we have got Alex Rakin scrambling out of the pocket on first and 10 to pick up another first down for the Gales on the right-hand side as that offensive line, a bit of a manhandle play there. And Don, that is now four consecutive first downs for this Queens offense, and we've seen it through the air and on the ground, something we didn't see as much last week. You've talked about it before, but either creating hesitation with the backers dropping back or creating space with the backers playing up is letting the veteran Alex Brakin kind of pick his path forward here as he's going to look for Russell Weir over the middle, and that is pass interference. Hand on the front and the back of the jersey to haul him down. Would have been incomplete, but instead it'll be another first down.
When you talk about what the Queens are now doing to start to force Mac to come with a different defensive look, that time blitzing a couple of linebackers, so that means your secondary have to cover that much harder, and as you say, it brings forth the PI inside the five-yard line.
As this Queens offense looks to, in what has so far been eerily similar to last week's second quarter with an early touchdown in the quarter and then a more prolonged drive towards the end of it, looks to put more points on the board here in what has been just a beautiful day for football action. I think we've been spoiled the first 2 weeks of the season, Don, with just how gorgeous this weather has been. And folks, we're going to be live again next week. Don will be back with his regular broadcast partner, the great Bill Miklas, and I'll be all by my lonesome for CFRC for the Friday Night Lights game against the defending Yates Cup champion Laurier Golden Hawks. That should be an outstanding football game. Pass here on first and goal, looking for Ethan Dahl. Ethan Dahl with the catch, fighting forward, flag down, would have been stopped short. I think so too, Don. I think that is going to be a hold on the Gales.
You talk about the way that the Gales keep sort of going to that next stage of the offense. We've seen it with Kasari, now we see it with Dahl. And that, you know, they're there looking like they're going to be running the ball, and then at the last second before the ball gets snapped back to Vraken, they just leak out into the flat. Yep. And then try and get upfield to get the first down or touchdown.
And last week we saw Russell Weir's first touchdown of the season, very similar play, something we touched on in the pregame. Rather than having him leak out from the running back, he came in, showed a block look, and then snuck out into the flat. And with that kind of elite speed that he is tough to take down in the open field if you don't have the proper angle. So it's going to be first and goal from the 19-yard line. So Queens, about as far as you can go in first and goal. Look for a pass fit here, and it will be a quick hitter to number 10, Preston Martin. Does a great job of getting his feet in downs along the left-hand side of the field. Perhaps a memory that will bring up a little bit of trauma for the Gales, getting your feet down on a consequential pass play. But that moves them up 10, so we're back to where it started.
But Freakin's reading off coverage. And and now we're talking about the fact that the defensive back isn't right up in the face of the receiver. He's off about 10 yards. Martin's wide open to be able to get back almost all of that penalty yardage from the first down play.
So second and goal from the 9. Gales lead by 8. Freakin dropping back, looking for Mateo Tuioti, grown man strength, falling forward for a Gales touchdown. Queens, 6 more on the board as we have touchdown number 2 for number 87 this season. Somebody who had 1 receiving touchdown last year has already doubled his total. And Don, he has looked like the most consistent threat on this Queens offense this season.
Well, you know, it was more the scheme of the offense, I think, last week that got those chunk plays downfield, especially on the left side of the formation, open against Western. This time, great job by the Gales offensive line. Freakins looking, goes to about his third or fourth receiver on the play, and that time it's Mateo Tuioti, 6'4", 249. Kay German, the 6'1", 200-pound safety, trying to tackle him at the line of at the goal line, and Tuioti able to use his strength to get in for the major.
And credit to German. Put up a heck of an effort. Did initially stop Tuioti, maybe a little bit short, but that second effort, the drive of the legs, puts the Gales up 17-2 with less than 4 minutes to play in our second quarter of football action. And we'll just take a moment to thank our second quarter sponsor, Old Farm Fine Foods. Did you know Old Farm Fine Foods also offers top-notch catering for your special event? Speak to their friendly staff at the cash for more information. Old Farm Catering, always fresh, always delicious, and sure to satisfy. And word to the wise, I've been told that the chocolate milk from the Limestone Creamery is a particular hit amongst the Queens Gales football players, Don. So if you're planning on stocking up, maybe go early Tuesday morning, because by Thursday and Friday, they've picked a lot clean, speaking from experience. Tyler Mullen on to kick this one away. Woo! Smoking kick there from Tyler Mullen, caught at the 1 yard line. And tackled up in part by, looks like that was, I think, number 20 for the Gales, and then number 48, Alex Tuck. Great form special teams tackle there. But, hey, great return from the McMaster Marauders with Cole Manier and Alex Tuck collaborating on that one.
Mike Duchesne, the starting running back this afternoon for McMaster, on the return.
He has been everywhere for this offense. But he is not on the field at the moment. A spread formation. Oh, no, there he is. My mistake, folks. Actually, that, I believe, is number... Yeah, that is Micah Duchesne. He was up in the fullback spot, but he's back in the backfield. Keegan Vanek reads that play to perfection, and number 26.